Letters to Daniel, Volume 1, Letter 02, First Spiritual Events, printed and posted in the year of Christ the King, 2011, in the seventh month, on the 22nd day of the seventh month.
The gorilla skinned them? Why did they skin them?
Ain't no way for no soldier to die.
What the hell are you?
Dear Dan, there were two spiritual events that I can remember when I was young, about 4 or 5 years old. Both occurred at my grandmother's house in Kirkland when I was about that age. First was like this. Across the street from grandma's house was a house where a girl lived who was about my age and to whom I became a playmate when I visited grandma's. One day in the summer, I went across the street to play. I went onto the front porch and rang the doorbell, and then waited. I rang the doorbell again, but no one was home. I just stood there for a minute trying to figure out if I should wait some more or go back to Grandma's. Just then I heard a sound. It was high in volume, but low in frequency. It filled the atmosphere and had a distinct locality as coming from over the lake, west to east, emanating above Seattle. It was not a sonic boom, nor was it some kid playing with an electric guitar amp. It was not a sound effect, construction noise, or thunder. It was not a hydroplane or a truck using compression brakes. It was a deep, satanic laugh, scoffing at me and at my desire to play with my friend. The second event came in the form of a nightmare dream. I dreamed that my parents were downstairs and had been skinned alive. I awoke, but this was very fearful at this. And was troubled for some time after. Now, there is a piece of data that is important. In my grandmother's house was a coat closet. It was always fun to go in there because I liked the smell, and that's where all the games were kept. Board games like the Game of Life, Scrabble, decks of playing cards, and cribbage, and probably other games, the pieces of which I systematically lost over the years. There was one game in there that seemed to not have any playing pieces. I always wondered where the pieces were, but since it wasn't complete, I came to ignore it, while at the same time being a little disappointed. Besides, the markings on the board didn't have any logical sequence, so even if I wanted to make pieces, I wouldn't know how to play. Now, of course, I know what kind of a board game it was. It was an Ouija board. Blessings.
Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo, the Caped Crusaders fighting for righteousness and battling the evil forces of crime. Batman and Robin, in reality, Bruce Wayne and his young ward, Dick Grayson, live at the Wayne townhouse in Gotham City, where only their butler, Alfred, knows the secret of their true identities. From their hidden Batcave, with their fully equipped scientific laboratory deep beneath the Wayne house, using the powerful Batmobile and Batplane, with their own amazing physical skills and knowledge of criminology, Batman and Robin are able to strike out against the forces of evil wherever they may be in the world. But where did they begin? How and why did Bruce Wayne become the Batman and Dick Grayson Robin? This is the true story, the legend of Batman and Robin. Bruce Wayne was the only child born to Gotham City's millionaire Thomas Wayne and his wife Martha. As the only heir to wealth and power, young Bruce was raised by his parents in the finest traditions of life. They were proud of his excellent scholastic record and his achievements as an athlete. One fateful summer evening, when young Bruce and his parents were walking home to their townhouse on their way back from a nearby dinner party...
Gosh, it's certainly a nice night, isn't it?
Yes, but it's awfully dark here. Thomas, isn't the street unusually dark?
Yes, the street lights seem to be out. Sorry we didn't take the car now.
Can't move any of you. And you won't get hurt.
Oh! Watch out, he's got a gun.
What is this?
It's a stick-up, buddy. And I'll start with that nice jewelry you're wearing, lady.
No, my necklace.
Yeah.
Oh!
Take your hands off my wife.
Mister, I told you to be quiet or else. Give me that purse, too, lady.
Oh!
How dare you? Give me that gun.
No, Thomas!
I warned you. You asked for it.
Dad!
Thomas, you've killed him. Help! Police!
I'm gonna have to shut you up, too, lady.
Mother! No! You murderer!
You punk, you're next. The gun's jammed. I gotta get out of here. Fast!
Mother! Dad! Oh, no! They're dead!
The gangster's bullets killed his parents and made an orphan out of young Bruce. The terror and shock of that terrible moment and the thought of revenge against the criminal haunted the lonely boy until finally he made a decision and wrote an historic entry in his diary.
And I swear, by the spirits of my parents, to avenge their deaths by spending the rest of my life fighting criminals, I will make war on crime.
As the years passed and the boy grew into manhood, he used his family inheritance for this one dedicated purpose. Working in almost total isolation, training his mind and his body as no man had ever done, he became a master scientist, building his own vast laboratory beneath the house. He read and studied all the literature of criminology and police science, and he trained his body to physical perfection until he was able to perform amazing athletic feats and master the arts of self-defense. Throughout the years of study, Bruce's only companion was the family butler, Alfred, who had helped to look after young Bruce after his parents' death.